From coast to coast, here's your host and host, SBH and Sawa. Hi, SBH.
Hi. I'm look, sorry, my phone just did something funky. I feel like you're on speaker, but well, anyway. Hi.
No, I'm. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? You know, it was you just did our intro again, and we were just talking about our main man who's going to be doing it for us eventually. You're talking just now. I'm like, technically we're hostess and hostess, but then that made me think of cupcakes, but then that starts making me feel like we're the cream filling in the middle of your week because it's a Wednesday. I like,
I love
and I
cupcakes.
like cream
You're off
filling.
sugar right now. Yeah, but you're off sugar.
I well, not 100%. I'm just kind of keeping it on the down low because sugar doesn't seem to like me. So, I mean, it's not as bad
Which is
as
crazy because, I like you and I like sugar, so.
and you're sweet as sugar.
Yeah. And you're sweet as maple syrup because we don't eat that crap fake corn syrup stuff.
No, I actually wait until I'm in your neck of the woods before I buy my maple syrup, as you are very well aware.
Yeah, that reminds me of something I'll tell you when we're not recording a podcast because it's totally not relevant. But
Okay.
I'm going to take care of something for you ahead of time
Yay. You're gonna get
because
me
we're
some
already
maple
planning
syrup.
for October
Ooh. Yep. Got
when
the
we will record live
We'll
together.
be coming to you live from undisclosed location somewhere in the east. East Coast, not like, Asia or anything like that. Although that would be pretty fat too, honestly.
Yeah, well, we'll work on that
So we
later.
are here. We're bi-coastal disorder.
Muscle disorder. Yeah, this is episode two, and we're already on a tangent, which is awesome.
So, just a recap for those of us who didn't listen to episode one, this is what it's going to be like. It'll be like you're listening in on w any one of our typical conversations, and I'm sorry, but yeah. And we do hope to be informative.
Don't be sorry. We're a delight.
I think so. Like I said, we entertain us, and that's good enough for me. So, but and we also want to be informative, on things like everyday mental health. Mental health isn't scary and it's not mysterious. It's something we live with every single day. Me, you, everybody. Even Big Bird. Everybody thought Big Bird was crazy because he was like, no, Mr. Snuffleupagus is real. And turns out he was telling the truth all along. He was not indeed having hallucinations of sorts. So, see?
We're not gonna shame imaginary friends. Imaginary friends got me through, I don't know, today. My imaginary friends just evolved, but yeah, like I totally relied on them when I was a bullied teenager and a bullied little kid, and yeah. So nothing's wrong with imaginary friends, but giant mythical mammoths? Is Snuffleupagus a mammoth?
I think he's fashioned after a woolly mammoth without the tusks, because the tusks
Yeah,
wouldn't exactly be
that would have been scary.
right,
Yeah.
but I mean, if you look at him, it's he's suspiciously looks a lot like a woolly mammoth. So,
But
speaking,
he's a great friend,
he ah and
Snuffleupagus.
ah,
We're gonna segue.
segue. So basically, episode two. We haven't titled this episode as yet, but the topic is going to be toxic friendships. Am I right?
Part one.
Part
Yeah,
one.
because there's probably going to be more than one. We have a lot of them in our lives. Well,
Yeah.
you're really good at getting rid of them. I'm not so much, but I've reduced them.
Well, I mean, harm reduction is half the goal. But I mean, basically, yeah, it's weird. We were talking about Little Man last podcast, and I remember he got so just for those of you who didn't listen to last week's no, last fortnight's podcast, we had a friend who back in the early millennia would basically he was the only guy in a fandom of many, many, many women. And
Oh, so many.
many. And one of the thing, I mean, and he was a really he's a, I mean, probably still is a very nice person and sensible.
Sensitive.
Huh?
Very sensitive.
Very sensitive. I think what Sawa was saying last time was the opposite of toxic masculinity. And at the same time, he would do some stupid things, such as, I remember one time he posted a topic about hate, hate, hate. Women all hate each other. Women all hate their friends. And I remember, well, I was offended because I have many, you know, girlfriends that I love dearly. And of course, I mean, obviously, all the other women on the board were like, what the fuck? It's like, what's wrong with you? You know, and it's like, women approach friendship differently than men do. And we'll get into all the psychology about that if you want to hear it. But
of course we do. That's why we're here.
Yeah. But the thing is, he's wrong in that women, it's not that women have more toxic friends than men. I think if there is a difference at all, I think women probably, you know, ponder on it and verbalize it more than men do. And that's a generalization, mm-hmm. I'm very aware. But no, we all have had, you know, so basically this episode is basically like, have you ever felt, you know, yourself identify a bit too much with the bride in the movie Bridesmaids? Or do you know all too well the feeling?
Never saw it.
Oh, you will think of me when you see it. When we meet, we're going to watch it and you're going to go, oh my God, who was hiding in the bushes with the camera? Because I was the bride in Bridesmaids.
I was going to say, we were hiding in the bushes with the camera before your wedding. Find him that other one.
We were also hiding in the bushes from one of the bridesmaids who reminds me of the bridesmaid gone mad and bad. And
right.
We were just talking about her. What did we decide we were going to call her again? Oh dear, because we mask everybody's identity and oh my
god, already. We can go with Tree Fairy. Tree Fairy works.
Yeah, I mean, it was just that's gonna bother me because we just came up with a name for her. But anyway, I mean, so basically, yeah, if you have ever
it was Matchmaker.
Matchmaker, because of the speech. Thank you. So we'll get into Matchmaker.
We're being all vague booky right now. We're sorry.
What I was saying is, if you've ever felt like the bride and bridesmaids a bit too much, or if you know all too well the feeling of both your stomach and your ass clench simultaneously when a certain friend's number flashes on a caller ID, or if you ever felt like a longtime friend of yours is turning more Lando to your Han Solo without all the good times afterwards, then hang on to your hang on to your ignore buttons on your smartphones, because this episode is for you. This is Toxic Friendships. Ta-da!
Woo! Oh, speaking of slightly, I may have done a little toxic friendshipping by accident.
Huh?
I'm going to confess my sins. So our talk about Little Man last episode made me Google Little Man, because that's what you do when you're thinking about people you're not really in contact anymore. And because of his job, Little Man does not do Facebook very often.
Oh, okay.
And I understand this.
If at all.
So I accidentally Google stalked him a little bit and accidentally found his like home phone number. But I didn't write it down or text him or anything weird like that. But right. I accidentally found it, and then I felt like a horrible psycho friend. So I am confessing my sins of being a horrible psycho stalker. Sorry, Little Man.
Well, I mean, if you didn't write it down and you didn't intend to call him. Well, first off, considering the nature of, I guess, the general nature of his job. Because I assume he went into some branch of military job. I mean, am I right? Okay, so then I assume that whatever phone number is online is probably like some public number, like an office number or some rando.
Oh, no, it totally had a street address.
Okay, maybe it's... that's weird. Because...
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know how to take that off the internet. And while we're on the subject of toxic friendships, I recommend everyone for their own self-care, because we are all out there, and your own sanity. Like People Finder, put yourself in and then opt out, because it's amazing how many websites you will find your personal information. Some of it will be right, some of it will be wrong, but they farm this information and you can always take it off, but it's opt out, not opt in. So do yourselves a favor. I'll post some links on our Facebook on how to get yourself off of those People Finder sites. Find out your personal information.
You're cutting in and out a little bit. Is that your microphone?
Probably.
Okay. Because I was just, so you were saying it's People Finder?
That's one of them. I, like I said, I have a list, but it's at my work computer
Okay.
of places to opt out of, and I will post that on our Facebook, which is Bicoastal Disorder.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, there you went. Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, yeah, I think maybe if I shift this way, because you're doing this via microphone, I'm doing this via cell phone, so maybe, so yeah, there we go. So yeah, because I know Spokio, that awful website, I found myself on there. I mean, there's another one called, it's either Family Tree Now or My Family Tree Now or something like that, where, I mean, just the name, my allergies, I'm like, just the name, no, just the name of it. It sounds like, you know, one of those like heritage websites, but no, this is a website that has all your shit on the internet. So and this actually kind of goes into one of the reasons why we thought we would do toxic friendships. Not just because, you know, it's fun to bitch about the friends that pissed you off. It's not that. It's because, how do I put it? Everybody is well versed into the abusive romantic partnership. You know, everybody knows what that is. Everybody knows the danger signs, the wheel of violence, both physical and emotional and mental. But, you know, a lot of people, and that's what made me think of Little Man again, is that a lot of people think it's something to be ashamed of to want out of a friendship that has over the years turned toxic, and that happens all the time. You know, generally what you hope for is if a friendship ends, it's because, you know, with time and distance, people, you know, kind of go on to do their own thing, and then you meet up at some reunion somewhere, and then you go, oh, hey, that was fun, that was fun. But and then you realize you're two totally different people, and you just don't keep in touch after that because life has gone on. But friendships have a nasty way of, I don't know why, it happens often where somebody who you trusted with so many things just basically, I guess sometimes it starts because depending on the person, they start thinking you owe them. Like you owe them your time, you owe them your concern, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think that we should start because with personal anecdotes, because that seemed, I mean, we've only had one episode, but from the feedback I've gotten from it, people like that we're sharing our personal stories, and that's what I want to be doing instead of bottling my emotions, is telling my stories. And so I think we should start
Sure.
by I mean, you just alluded to a little bit about what I'm going to talk about with Cat Lady, but I think that we should start with talking about Grammar Stalker.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've been thinking about, because I knew that we were going to talk about Grammar Stalker. We even mentioned her last episode, and I, you know, in my head, coming up to today, I was like, you know, da, 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 what am I going to leave be what am I going to leave out, and what am I going to put in? So basically, I'm not going to, so I won't get into all of the major parts of her drama, because a lot of it is pretty touchy and sensitive. And even though she and I are not friends anymore, I still want to protect her privacy there, at least her integrity there, even if she wasn't going to protect it for herself. So basically, I met Grammar Stalker the time when everybody wants to make friends. It's the first week, freshman year of college. And you know, I mean, I thought she was fine. She wasn't somebody that I was like, ooh, I want to be her friend. It was just, you know, how friendships happen naturally, just kind of evolved. And I have to say that a lot of my memories of her were just me, her, and her boyfriend, with whom I had also become friends around the first semester of freshman year, and then they became romantically linked, but that, you know, never bothered me. I mean, I never felt like a third wheel. We all just hang out together from time to time. And when I look back on those 4 years, that when you're in it, as you will remember, feels like an eternity, but when I look back, I remember a lot of people used to give her a wide berth. That should have been a warning. And but I thought people gave her a wide berth because for the most part she was kind of, as one resident advisor once called her, gruff. You know, her manner of speaking. She was also, you know, just tall in stature, manner of speaking. Just, you know, just one of those very rough around the edges people.
I will agree with that assessment. I've met Grammar Stalker.
Yeah, you know, so anyway, but as time wore on, she had some personal things, like real heavy personal things in her family. Her mom was ill, and she was dealing with that through college. So I gave her a lot of leeway, you know, like I assumed people didn't want to be her friend because she was very gruff. And she didn't have time to try to work on that because she was dealing with real, you know, really big personal stuff, especially for somebody who's, you know, 19, you know, 20, to be dealing with the mortality of your mom. And so I was like, okay, I mean, she never bothered me. And then after college, things started getting a little out of control. So basically, she was making one poor decision for herself after the next. So we're talking about toxic relationships. And by toxic relationships, you know, the ones that would make the Lifetime movie channel sort of relationships and all of that. And so what eventually I think did it was the phone calls became more and more incessant. And, you know, I mean, I don't want anybody out there to get the impression, because you remember what I went through with her. I don't want anybody for a second to go, oh, well, how awful that you deserted her in her time of need. I really didn't. I was there for, oh God, many, 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 like didn't matter what hour of the night, phone calls, random emergency calls during the workday at my job, random visits, like dropping over to talk about these things, calling me and my husband who had just had surgery out of bed to come help her deal with stuff. So we were there through thick. There was no thin. It was thick, thicker, and thickest. And we were there. Yeah. And,
you know, and there was a situation that involved violence.
Were several. But that's, you know, and so eventually, you know, what it is, I think what killed it, if I were to sum it up, it was this expectation that she was going to continue doing what she wanted to do, regardless of how it affected her. But we were expected to clean it up. And, mm-hmm. and if I gave my opinion about this is dangerous or this is probably not a good idea for those involved in your life, I was the enemy. I was not being, you know, I wasn't being understanding and the guilt. You know, I remember the, oh, I'll never call you again. I'm horrible because, you know, you think I make bad decisions. You know, I was like, and so it was back and forth and back and forth and it just grew and grew.
It sounds like something that my 8-year-old would say and has said.
Well, and there was, you know, I remember at some point towards the end of the friendship when I was exhausted because I was literally at her house until 4 in the morning that morning and I had to be at work at 6 and
I remember
I remember Boy Sawa, he was the one who summed it up for me actually. He said it sounds like this person wants to continue doing these scary reckless things to herself and she doesn't want you to only support her, she wants you to cheerlead it. And at some point you're asking her to draw some boundaries and to protect herself and to do some self-care in the most emergency type way possible. And she's refusing. And because you're not cheerleading that, you're not a good friend. And she would pull that out. She said, you know, her significant other thinks you suck because you're not supporting me. And I was like, no, I'm not supporting him, you know, and I'm supporting you, but
and no one should.
No, you know, and so basically there came a point where, and I won't get into the straw that broke the camel's back because it's upsetting. where I found that she was, you know, I mean, the last really big dangerous act she was doing that didn't just involve her, involved people who were dependent upon her. That I said, you know what, I can't help, because there's nothing, there's no time I'm going to tell you this is a good idea, and you want me to say it, so we can't do this. And she agreed at the time. She agreed that, okay, you know what, if you can't support me doing this, then we're done, because I need to do this for myself, when really and truly she needed to do it for herself. I think I remember I told you the way I wrote it out to her when she called me out on unfriending her on Facebook. The way I wrote it out was, you're leveraging what you want to do. You're leveraging our friendship on what you want to do, and that's fine. But, you know, I'm not going to support you destroying yourself. So that was basically, I mean, I pretty much never looked back after that. I mean, I'm always hoping the best for her, you know, but I've had nightmares.
You're very good at cutting people off when they need to be and sticking to it.
Well, I mean, so there were, I mean, I remember, so then came the stalky part where she started, at first she was all down with us not communicating anymore because, you know, I wasn't supporting her decisions and doing all of her decisions, but then I don't know, then it was this constant, like, I remember I used to get text messages saying I'm in danger, and I'm like, no. You know, it's like she had a therapist call me because she was in therapy for a period of time. I don't know if she is anymore, honestly. I wouldn't be surprised if she's not.
I hope she is.
I hope so too, but if I know her, she has found some new way and has decided that's a better way. And if it works for her, I mean, I honestly don't know much. I know that her, you know, she's still doing her thing, but I don't know anything about that part. I don't know even where she is, really. So, and I have had nightmares about that lady. Like, I have dreamt that she has called me. And so
there's good reason for that, because she keeps finding you.
She had people call me. She called my mom. She called my mom and had this long chat with my mother. And then my mother, being, you know, the bleeding heart she is, she called me up and goes, well, she told me that this is the only reason I know a little bit about what she's up to lately, as in 3 years ago, is because that's what she was telling my mom. And my mom's like, yeah, and this has happened and that has happened to her. I'm like, okay. And even my mother was like, so you're not going to call her? I was like, no, because when you are friends with somebody like that and you give them an inch, I mean, not only do they take a yard, but they demand more, and it's like incessant. I'm not kidding when I said the phone would ring at 2 a.m. and it was like this serious sort of, you know, can you come here? Can you do this? I almost felt like it was like I was in the army, you know, like the bugle was being blown and I had to respond and get my shoes on. You know what I mean? I was like, so, and that was fine. That would have been fine if it was like, you know, somebody's going through a rough time and they're trying to find their way out and they're interested in finding their way out. But she, you know, it took me a while to realize, no, she doesn't. She just wants me to help her clean it up per incident and then support this.
Well, so, I'd also like to say that just because you've ended a friendship that is not healthy for you or the person that you're in it with, doesn't mean that you stop caring about them. And that's a problem that I suffer with, because I have guilt issues. Whereas I feel terrible. Like, I fight the urge to reach out to people I've cut out because I care about them still. And that's fun. And I just want, even just to hear it, my own self say it, it's fine to not be in contact with someone that you love because they are not good for you. Even if it's a friendship love or romantic love or familial love, because toxic families will be a future episode, I promise.
No, God, toxic. I mean, if this is a mental health show, toxic families, I think, will be our bread and butter. So.
Anyway,
But
I just wanted
no,
to state that it doesn't mean that we wish ill of Grammar Stalker at all. We don't.
No, I mean, if I did, I wouldn't be working so hard to protect all the stuff that I'm working to protect, just telling the story. Like, it's weird. Speaking of abusive relationships, where, like I said, people tend to have this idea that abusive relationships are kind of limited exclusively to romantic pairings. That, like, so it, in the case of the battered ex-girlfriend talking about her assailant, and you'd expect her to have, like, that kind of war story style, like, flashbacky sort of. I have to tell you, just talking about her and just going into that very brief synopsis, because if you don't think that was brief, it ain't nothing compared to the years. But
Oh no, that was very concise.
no, but I have to tell you that, I mean, like, my pulse is just starting to come down. Like, that anxiety is right back there. I mean, she had a real impact on my adrenaline, So, no, I mean, she can still have that impact on somebody. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, I thought it was when you were saying, let's do toxic friendships, because I was like, yes, because too many people, I think that because no emphasis is placed on it. Okay, put it to you this way. When somebody says, hey, this person's driving me nuts because they're constantly yelling at me, like when I said that thing about, your ass clenches when the caller ID flashes, mine used to clench. I was like, oh no. And so it was like, now if a friend says that, we, your typical guy, sorry guys, but a typical man would say, oh God, that's, just bitching about friends. No, that's not bitching. That's somebody who is being harassed or abused, or in the middle of a toxic relationship. Now, if they were saying, hey, my boyfriend does this, now all of a sudden that person has everybody's attention, right? Because, oh, well, you're in an abusive relationship, or he's mentally abusing you. Friends can be even bigger abusers than partners, because partnerships, you can break up with the per well, you can break up with anybody, but partnerships, it's an expectation, right? When you find out somebody is abusing you're like, say you have a friend named, Jennifer, and she's going out with some dude named Brandon, and you find out Brandon has been laying guilt trips on her and demanding her all hours of the night, and telling her all kinds of zany things, and then getting angry with her when she doesn't support the stupid stuff he does. Wouldn't you say Brandon is emotionally abusive? Brandon's taking it. And then all of Jennifer's friends would easily say, you should dump him. But if Jennifer says, hey, my friend Sawa is doing this to me, they would say, oh, well, Jennifer's being a girl. She's having problems with Sawa, but they'll work it out. You know what I mean? So we tend to devalue when friends are doing this to you. And the problem is, people really need friends to survive. Like, there are, I'll get into it a little later, there are all kinds of psychology studies and articles about how women who tend to want to hold on to their, like their platonic friendships even after marriage, even more so than men, apparently, that, their blood pressure is lower when they have their social friendships. Their cholesterol is lower. They live longer. Friendships are important. So when your friends are being dicks to you, just harken back to your days on the playground when people would say, you look like you lost your best friend. That was huge. So, yeah. So that was Grammar Stalker. What? And so, Cat Lady. Let's hear about
All
Cat
right,
Lady.
so Cat Lady and I met about the same point in our lives that you and Grammar Stalker met. We've established that SBH is a tiny bit older than me. So I met Cat Lady through mutual friends, and she and I hit it off amazingly well, amazingly strongly. She was smart and funny and a very creative person. And she was into the fandom I was, but not in the same fandom community I was. So SBH never had the pleasure.
No.
And she had some issues with honesty that I don't think were intentional. I think that she had something wrong where she had trouble with the truth, but she was also people who was had herself convinced that she never lied. And so it was hard. Once I found that facet of her personality, it was very difficult for me.
Wait, so she convinced other people she never lies, or she convinced herself, or a little bit of both?
No, just herself, because
Oh.
the lies contradicted each other so much that it was impossible not to. And it was fun. I can put off that, that cat lady is a liar. Like, that's something I can handle. I don't, because I can't lie myself, it makes me throw up, which I
Yep.
think I mentioned last time.
Literally. Yeah.
Yeah. Super, super embarrassing. Anyway, yeah, sometime I'll tell the story about how, like, I was gonna call out well, sick for work, and then I actually manifested the illness because I felt so guilty about it. It was very funny.
Glad you didn't tell them that you broke a leg then.
Oh God, no, not enough. Thank you. Once was enough.
Yeah.
Anyway, and it was fine, and I could accept that. That's just the same reason I can't lie. I understand that other people lie all the time. Variation of normal would be not the best one, but it is one. It got to be a problem though after she started having children, because I tried to be, she maybe still is, I don't know her marital status. Was a single mother, and for a long time, she didn't have a partner. Last time I spoke to her, she did. But anyway, she
When did you speak to her last?
I'd have to look for the screen cap that you insisted I take, so I remembered why I cut her out.
Okay.
I don't. I have it in a file on an old hard drive.
I forgot I had you do that.
You did, because you know my I tend to forget that people have done mean things. Anyway, I forgive too much, maybe. Not a, but there are other things that I totally hold grudges on. And a friend of mine recently said I was the worst grudge holder she'd ever met. So
Oh my God.
take that with a grain of salt.
Right. Well, with your guilt complex, not bloody likely.
Well, because I can't forgive Elevator Man. And I've tried really hard and I can't. So anyway.
But
Wait.
again, but that, I mean, yeah.
For a different time, and
Yeah.
that's a podcast in itself.
That's a series. Yeah.
Anyway, we had some minor falling outs over the years, like you do. We'd have a spat and clear it up, and have a spat and clear it up. But she started posting things on social media that got to be where it was similar to Grammar Stalker, where it's like something's wrong, I need help urgently. Only for her, it was always financial help.
The lure, the
And
please care about me. Yeah.
yeah, and it was, I can't provide adequately for my children. Please bail me out. And sometimes maybe it was true, but then the next minute, she would talk about a major purchase that she had made that was frivolous. And I
She's
don't
like, go to
want
GoFundMe. Look at
And the
my
thing is, I
Gucci purse.
don't. That was before this, before the world of GoFundMe and Indiegogo
GoFundMe.
and all those things.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be the person who's like, you should never indulge yourself or whatever. But to one minute say, I'm worried about paying my mortgage this month, and the next minute you say, I just bought a high-end computer,
Right.
which is the truth. She may not have made the big purchase. She may not have had any trouble with her mortgage, like, and it was, and it got to the point where my husband, being a mandated reporter, was seeing things that she put online that he's, we didn't know if it was true or not, or a grab of attention. And I really feel like she desperately needed positive relationships in her life, and she needed friends, but didn't know how because her circumstances were different from her peer group,
Okay.
I don't think she knew how to make these positive connections anymore.
So is she totally cut off from her original, group of people, or is she?
With the so her oldest child's father and his wife are still in contact with her because of the child. But
Okay.
that's the only mutual connection we still have.
Right, if it was up to him, he wouldn't be.
If it was up to, yeah, either of them. And
Right.
they were
Oh,
also
okay.
married. He, Cat Lady and the wife were actually very close friends for a while. And it was again the constant, I was the last one to cut her off.
Yeah.
And I hated to do it, and I felt really, I feel really guilty about it, that she, I'm sure she has found new friends, and I have to be sure of that for my sanity. I'm gonna cry again. I was hoping to go through a podcast without crying.
Oh,
But
no, it's, but I
the
mean,
straw
yeah.
that killed, that broke the camel's back in this case, was she actually said on a social media thing, I can't remember which platform, doesn't matter. She said flat out that she was only interested in friendships with people who could help her out of financial binds.
Well,
And
at least she knew and she put it out there.
right, and
I mean, go
that
her for that.
was because I mean, we are not, we are comfortable, but we are not well off in any.
Right.
I can't help out a friend who can't pay her mortgage.
Well,
I can't swoop in and do that. I can buy people some gifts for their kids, and that's about as far as it goes. Like, and that gave me the strength to cut her off. And like I said, you made me, you and another friend of mine, we'll call her the jeweler. You and the jeweler said, "Remember this moment." And I think it was you who told me to screen grab it.
yeah, well, I
So
mean,
that when my resolve faltered, which of course it does all the time, I keep saying, "I should just reach out,
no.
apologize." And like, yeah,
Yeah.
no one's gonna let me.
Like no. No,
But
and well, and the reason why I'm taking that hard line.
like someone who needed me.
No, what the reason, not to interrupt, but the reason I'm taking that hard line, especially now, is because who'd want to be friends with somebody who just wants like the friend version of a sugar mama? I mean, like what I don't even know what you call that, a sugar auntie? It's like, what? It's like, I only want to be your friend if you can buy me shit and support
That
me.
is my new favorite expression. That's the name of this. That's the name of this episode, Sugar Auntie.
Sugar aunties, It's like, I mean, like, hey, go her for being like so cool with herself to just put it out there. At least to me, it's a warning to anybody who thinks she's a good thing that. So, run away from Cat Lady. But at the same time, I'm like, no, who wants to be friends with somebody who just wants a sugar auntie? That's crazy. I mean,
Yeah, but she is a nice person and her heart is in the right place. She helps animals. She.
then she needs to be Cat Lady and stay that way,
Yeah.
until she learns to appreciate people for being.
She's a bad person. She was just a toxic friend to me
Right.
and to her other friends. But I hope that she's gotten help and that she's over it. I truly do.
Well, and that's the thing, and that goes into what, like when you were getting tearful just now. I mean, this, I hope anybody who's listening, this is proving
Just that.
our, no, this is proving our point that just because we, for our own good, after we've tried and tried and tried, just because we go, okay, I'm out, and walk away, the same way you would applaud somebody for walking away from a toxic romantic relationship. Don't be so quick to, like, taking my mom, for example. When Grammar Stalker reached out to my mother was like, well, so you don't want to call her and da 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 da. But if it was an abusive ex-boyfriend who called my mom, she'd be like, fuck you, and hang up the phone. You know what I mean? So it's
She
like,
totally would too. I love your mom.
she would, I mean, she would say it in a British accent. Fuck you, and just get off the phone. And so what I'm saying is that because it's a friendship, people give themselves a huge amount of leeway. And sometimes that I think the reason toxic friendships can be even more damaging than a short, like relatively short, let's just say you're with a really screwed up person, whether you're, you know, heterosexual, gay or bisexual, whatever, you know, if you are with a toxic romantic partner, even for like a year or two or three, and you manage to kind of go, nope, that's it, I'm sick of this shit, and then you walk away. Not, I think sometimes it's easier, because not that it's easy, don't get me wrong, but what I'm saying is the recovery can be a little more linear, I guess, because people tend to get their social support around that. People rally around that person because they know that they just survived some big shit. Whereas I think one of the reasons, to me, an ongoing toxic friendship can be, if it's allowed to go on for too long, it can be even more harmful, because you don't always get support, because people really don't, it doesn't generally tend to get people's attention as acutely as a toxic romantic pairing does, you know. So you don't get all the support in the world. Sure, you'll have your homegirls saying, yeah, fuck that person, you did the right thing, but you know, generally, you know, because, you know, like I said, you're not sharing that romantic part of your life, that people seem to take it less seriously, and because we tend to feel guilty because it's a friend, it takes us longer to get over our decision to hold that hard line. There have been times, like you said, when I cut people off, it takes me a long time to get there. But you best believe if I do it, I have to do it permanently, because I'm not wishy-washy either. You know, I'm not going to go, hey, I'm out, and then be back.
We're strong as balls, man.
Huh?
Actually, I've always hated that expression, strong as balls. Balls are really weak.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know, strong as vulvas?
Yeah. Strong as pubic bones? Because pubic bones take a beating, especially during pregnancy. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Just for everybody to know, when you see pregnant women waddling, it's not because their center of gravity is shifted. It's because our crotches hurt. It's God.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, and also, like, with friends, oftentimes, especially with women, we're friends with a whole group of other women.
Whereas we're friends with that person, yeah.
We've brought into the group.
That's a good point.
So, like we joke that it's a crass joke and I don't like it, but, you know, when someone has a breakup, we're like, oh, I got her in the breakup.
Yeah.
No. Oh, I got him in the breakup.
Yeah.
Whereas with a friend group, it's often if one friend ditches another one, the group dynamic changes. People are afraid of that change. And I think we can bring that up next time with other toxic friendships.
Yeah.
That really group dynamic. I don't think we have time to cover that now, but.
No, this would be it'll be like a marathon podcast if we did.
Right. We're trying to stick to about an hour.
Right.
Give or take a little bit, but, and we're at 43 minutes.
If there ever becomes demand, and by demand, even that made me chuckle, because, like, yeah, people are going to demand it. If people ever become really interested in us moving weekly, with our schedules, we can try to work it out. Sawa and I are both moms to really young kids, and, you know, work and kids and life and kids and work and life. And so if people want it, we can try, but for right now, especially since we probably have an audience of five, and that includes my husband and boy Sawa, who listened to it because I made them, you know.
Pants listened? Magic Pants listened.
The whole thing?
The whole thing. Hi, Magic Pants. I love you.
Cool. Well, I'm surprised, just because he's busy too. So that's why. But, you know.
Yeah.
And so, but basically, so I guess if we were to kind of round up this part of the toxic friendship series, I guess if I were to, you know, if you're listening to this and, firstly, we hope that you guys are feeling like, okay, so it's not just me. Okay, you're right. I don't need to be this person's friend. I don't need to be guilty, blah, blah, blah. I certainly hope you take that away. And if you want to know, well, geez, so, all right, so we've commiserated that, you know, certain friendships suck and certain ones are great. And what do I do now? My advice is to support your friend, if you hear them starting, like if you, even if you're a part of a group and one of your friends starts complaining more and more about another member of your friend group, don't just do the knee-jerk reaction if you can avoid it. You know, now knee-jerk reactions, of course, I guess I take that back because they happen without your permission. But it, at least if you have the knee-jerk reaction of roll eyes, oh God, you know, this is what, you know, people do. They bitch about their friends. Is there any friend you like? Listen to them and try to hear. Maybe they have real reason for feeling this way, and try to support them. Like, you know, actually be there for them. Even if you disagree, at least, you know, because if their experience with somebody, maybe like a grammar stalker went to every friend, mutual friend we had. Luckily, we didn't have all that many mutual friends, but, you know, I mean, she tried every channel to kind of, you know, sway me. Yeah. And, you know, and every person she reached out to had a very different relationship with her than I did. So even if you don't agree, give that person the benefit of the doubt. First off, they're coming to you for a reason. They need somebody to listen. And it's not easy having a problem with your friend because your friends are your social support group. And so there you have it. So I guess that's my pearls of wisdom for the week.
Let's try something to lighten the mood a little bit toward the end here.
Yeah.
I think we should tell a funny story about how we tried or did help a friend that ended in a very amusing anecdote.
Okay. Are you just saying?
I got one. So if you want to think of a time that you tried to be a really good friend and it ended up being hilarious.
Oh, I do. And it involved you and the Finn and the guy that we have repeatedly tried to hook the Finn up with, who keeps getting other girlfriends.
Oh, I really wish he'd stop doing that.
Oh, he's single again. So
I know you
game on.
All right. Well, we've got to get the Finn into the U.S. All right.
Yeah, that's.
I'll go first, and you can. So, my other best friend,
mm-hmm.
we're going to call Stina for purposes of this podcast. So, Stina was getting married.
Yeah. We
love you. She listens too.
We have 6 listeners.
Stina was getting married, mm-hmm. and she wanted to have a certain grown-up style bridal shower / bachelorette party.
And I think I saw you right before you did that.
Yes, because business class was having surgery, and I had to be there because that is important, mm-hmm. to be there for your friends.
See, this is good friendship. Yeah,
yeah, we jump on a plane without thinking about it. Yeah, yeah. That's anyway. And so she wanted to have this adult bachelorette party, and a friend of my ours, me and Stina's, sold adult novelties and lingerie. So I asked her if she had any connections in the area of the country where Stina lives. She did not, but okay. So I may have had a couple drinks at this point.
Okay.
And she convinced me that instead of finding a consultant for this company, I should just become one for my friend's party. And I did. And then there's a starter kit that comes with, it's a, you know, multi-layer marketing thing. I don't even know if it's still in business. So I packed up the suitcase of sin, and they lent me some of their higher end toys and things that didn't come with the starter kit. And then I went through airport security. And then they looked at me, and it was like, the guy couldn't have been more than 20 who was running the x-ray machine. And he was a young guy, and he was all alone. And he looks, well, you know, there are people around, but he was alone in his little booth. And he looks through the x-ray and my carry-on of sin. And he looks down again. And then I don't know whatever.
Is that a sexy soft?
But I just winked and went through security. And I'm not the kind of person who usually does that. I think it was the actor in me. But yeah, I totally just winked at him and went through.
You're like, hey.
Oh yeah. But then after, and so I did the party and it was fine. But that is my funny story of how I tried to be a good friend to my friend.
Actually, no.
And then I accidentally left smashed one of the toys on SBH's counter, and her mother-in-law came over
I was
and.
gonna go there. I was okay, so no, I'm not gonna let her end it there. I know we're supposed to be talking about Army Man and Finn, but hold up. So she made a stopover to my neck of the woods first, because as we mentioned, business class was having surgery, and Sawa is all colors of awesome. So she said, all right, I'm gonna come there. And I think you were here for like 4 days or so, or 3 days or so, and then
It might have been five.
yeah, and then carried on to where Stina is. And I remember when we picked her from the airport, get her in the guest bedroom, and she opens up her suitcase and she goes, oh, holy Jesus. And I was like, what? And there's that letter from the transportation authority, the authority people saying, yeah.
Forgot about that.
It's like, we totally went through all your sexy stuff because you made, like, you made our machines all kinds of suspicious. So that was the first.
Out.
Yeah, it was the batteries, and of course, you know, it's like, what kind of sicko is this? Is, you know, so that happened, and then to take my mind off of the drama of surgery day, you know, we're chatting, and she's all, oh, wait, it was like every time she noticed me getting anxious, she goes, oh, by the way, let me show you this dildo. Oh, by the way, let me show you this wax that turns into a cream. And we're gonna put the wax on your arm and it'd be you know, a cream. And my stepdad saw her, because it was like candle wax, like you heat it up like candle wax and you pour it on somebody.
Turns into massage oil. I remember that.
And I remember my stepdad was sitting at the table talking to us, and I'll never forget his reaction, because he saw you just heating this thing up over candlelight. He's like, okay, whatever. And then he saw you pour, like you just,
It was a candle.
it was a candle, and he saw you just like very casually while I'm talking to him, take my arm and just pour this stuff on me. And I remember he went, what? What the? And I was like, oh no.
You.
And I was like, oh. I was like, no, it's not that kind of wax. But no, my favorite was, it was a vibrator called the Magic Bullet, right? And like the blender, and you had it out on the counter, and it had like this little remote control to it, and it looked like a silver bullet, but it was unmistakably a vibrator.
Blushing so hard right
And I don't know how you did that job. You blush so easily, but you know, and so,
character. I'm an actor. It's what I do.
but all night long, Sawa is pulling up one object of deviance after the other, and as my mother-in-law will call it, objects of deviance. So I was like, you okay, you she's not even religious. But anyway, so the next morning, bright and early, the in-laws come to go to the hospital with, you know, with us, and my mother-in-law's talking to me, standing on one side of, and this was when we were in our apartment, so we're in that classic kitchen, the galley kitchen, where there's a long skinny counter separating you and the person in the living room. And she's on one side of the long skinny counter, and I'm on the other, and I'm trying to like Jedi style move this damn thing with my mind, because the stupid vibrator is laying right between me and her at like chest level. And I was like, is that the one? I'm like, oh man. And I see Sawa behind my mother-in-law, her eyes are like three times the normal size, going, oh my God. I'm just like, yeah. So let's just keep maintaining eye contact, because I don't want you to look down for anything. Yeah. No, so okay. So that was Sawa's story. Actually, the story I have in mind, just on the fly, the story I have in mind actually involves Sawa's moonlighting as this, you know, agent, what, objects of deviance agent. My God, we should put that on your resume. But so we have our friend, we've mentioned her before, the Finn. We call her that because we're super creative and she lives in Finland. And
I think
then
we've also just called her Papa.
we call her Papa too. Okay, so, well, Papa Finn. And so and we have another friend
Sounds
who
like a Mark Twain novel.
Papa Finn. But and then we have another friend who, because we're also super creative, we'll call him Military Boy because he was in the army. And he is that that guy you want as your friend-in-law. He is loyal. I mean, this is a guy who is there at the hospital.
Also, just friend. It's nice to also have him as a friend.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
Better if he was a friend-in-law as well, but...
Well, if he's a friend-in-law, you almost feel like you're related.
Ash's brother-in-law?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, so... But
we used to call each other Lush sisters back in the day.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay, so Lush brother-in-law, right? Because that way we're all, like, practically blood related then. And
yeah, yeah.
So, and they'd have babies, and then, you know, they'd be cousins with our babies, and it'd be great. They'd have pretty babies. But so we have been trying to hook up those two forever.
Oh, gosh.
And, I mean, this
that's
is...
a good friend.
And we wouldn't try to hook our pop up with just anybody. I mean, this is a guy where, I mean, this is a real story. My husband called him, "Hey, military boy, what are you doing today?" He goes, "Oh, I'm helping my mother build a house." I mean, that's a real answer from him, you know? So we're like, come on. He's a good looking guy. He is capable. He is able. And he's a really nice person. He was at the hospital before we got there for, business class of surgery. He and business class go way back. So we're trying to hook him up. Sawa has the idea because the people...
I forgot about this.
She says, yeah, okay. So she left me this tiny little sample of pheromone liquid. She said, okay. And she's all, now granted, we were about two bottles deep in wine when we had this idea. But she's like, okay. She's like, I'm a biologist. I'm like, uh-huh. And I'm a psychologist, sort of. And she's like, right. So now that we've established what we learned in school, she's like, what I know is that pheromones make people sexy. And I was like, okay, so what you gonna do? Because Papa's a bit of a brick wall. I was like the Pink Floyd song. Right, got it. She goes, okay. So what you gonna do is you're gonna take some of this in your hands and throw it on military boy. And I was like, he's gonna think that's weird. You gotta be smooth, SBH. Okay, I can be smooth. What you gonna do is you're gonna be like, oh hey military boy, welcome to our apartment. And I was like, okay. And then you're gonna be washing dishes when he walks in. I remember the backdrop and everything. I was like, okay, so I'll wash dishes. And then so that's why your hands are wet. Okay. And so when you go to hug him, you get the pheromones on his neck. And then when Papa smell him, she go, ooh, he smell like roast beef. And then she's gonna fall in love, and they're gonna have sex and get married, and they're gonna have babies, and their babies will be cousins with our babies. And I was like, I like this idea. And then we're all gonna like buy houses next to each other and live there. Ooh, it's gonna be made of chocolate. Okay, I'm down. All right. So I might have added in the houses made of chocolate part. And so I tried, to be fair, the moons collided and the stars aligned. I guess that's more pretty than moons colliding. That sounds dangerous. And then he was coming over and she happened to be in town. This is when she used to visit me every year. Papa. Anyhow, not bitter. Anyhow, so she's got stuff going on. I understand, sort of. But anyway, so yeah.
Sorry, Papa, this does not fly.
Right. It's like, come on, what about
you don't fly?
Speaking of toxic friendships, what about our needs? But anyway, so so he comes over and I'm all, okay, dishes. My husband's like, you're really gonna do this? I say, yeah. And then as I'm doing the dishes and he walks in, I go, oh hey, you know, insert military boy, you know, pseudonym here. And business class is all, he's going to think it's really weird you're hugging him with wet hands. I'm like, he's not going to care. And I smeared that boy. I smeared him from neck to shoulder, like to the point where I'm glad I told business class my plan, because business class would have been like, the hell is happening right in front of me here. And just as I thought, he, military boy didn't think anything of it. He's probably like, okay, well, sure. And because that's his demeanor. And as we're talking about, and so I called Papa over. She had met him before, and And she's, you know, she's the way she always is. Mm, hey, hi. Yep. Mm-hmm. It's nice to see you. Mm, yep, you too. Mm-hmm. And then the first thing this dude has the gall to start talking about to business class, his homeboy, is his brand new girlfriend. His brand new girlfriend, who's got legs up to here and big old teeth and perky boobies, and she's all great. And of course, because, you know, at this point I was like, well, oh shit, you know, I'm practically putting the fan away that I had ready to kind of, like, you know, create waft, a pheromone breeze aroma. Yeah, you know, it's like a pheromonal waft towards Papa. I mean, at this point he might as well have just had the same effect on business class for all I care. Well, no, actually, I would have cared, because I would have been like, hey, but, you know, it's sort of like, yeah. So we tried. Now, how were we trying? So it sounds to the average listener like, well, how were you trying to help? Well, we were trying to help them. They don't know how great they would be together.
I know. I honestly think I love Military Boy. I think we should have him on at some point. We can record with up to 10 people. Really? I think we should have him on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know
to talk about.
I know Battlecat once in. Battlecat flat out asked if he could guest star. I was like, if there's,
I don't know if I can handle shrinks. But
what, do I sound like a shrink? Battlecat,
because he's avoiding me.
No, he's just avoidant. Period. It ain't just, I know, you. Yeah.
Anyway, we love you, Battlecat. You should listen to our podcast.
Maybe if we lie to him and tell him that we're huge in the podcast, you know, world, and, you know, may tap into his what do you call it? Bitten by the bug sort of thing.
Yeah. Anyway, we were talking about something.
We were talking about soaking down Military Boy trying to seduce Pawpaw. Yeah.
I think that's why none of his relationships worked out, because he is destined to be with the Finn.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's if only they could see it as clearly as we can. But, you know, you can only try to talk good sense into people before they call you preachy.
Yeah, and you don't want to turn into the toxic friendship who will not let your hypothetical matchmaking skills, you know, don't be toxic.
Like, you know, I'm gonna be like one of those mothers who just go, well, you know, I know better, but you got to do it your way. So go on, try it.
You know, but we've got Mubi and Daisy Duke here. We still got hope.
Well,
we can still be friends.
Yeah, we got hope. I already kind of did the family crest of the you know, with the stuff and the crest and the mm-hmm. and the initials and the falcons and the eagles and the I need a, and a unicorn. And, oh shit! I forgot the griffin. Okay, I'll get the griffin. I'll get on the griffin.
Okay. All well, right. On that note, you have signing to do.
I got kids,
but the problem is mine are at their grandparents' house.
And yeah.
I don't know where I'm, but she's not there.
I gotta go get, so. I have to get the move. Gotta go get the move.
All right. So I will say that you and I will chat later.
Mm-hmm.
See you later. Yeah, and, like, I'm not even pretending that we didn't hang up a phone call to do this podcast.
No. Again, it's supposed to be people eavesdropping into a typical conversation. What you guys are hearing is literally the continuation of the call we were having. See? We are super duper real. We are so really real. Okay, so, this, so before Sour reads the credits, we did want to, it's on our Facebook page, I noticed. Good job putting that up there. And we did want to link to the national, they used to be, I think they're still called the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, but they're not just for suicide. They're basically a national 24/7 crisis line. The phones are manned by real professionals, real shrinks. It's not like calling the rap line in high school. So give them a look-see, give them a call. We want you guys to be healthy and safe.
And we want you to take care of yourselves.
Mm-hmm. Self-care is the best care.
Right. And, you know, don't hesitate to reach out to people. You're not alone.
Right.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
And there is an awesome picture of Fat Boy the Cat also on our Facebook page.
Living at large, yes.
I should put that on our Instagram, which is naked.
We have an Insta?
I'm not sure that I ever confirmed the account, so I do need to check that. But yes, we have an Insta.
When we're, like, you know, super well known, you're going to look back at these early episodes and go, oh, this is before they got their shit together.
Okay, let's go with that.
Yay.
That being said, Bicoastal Disorder with SBH and Sawa is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network. Quality nerd content from quality nerds. Check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Bicoastal Disorder. Blech. Email us your questions and comments at bicoastaldisorderpodcast@gmail.com. Join us on the Nerd Pride Radio forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds and check out the other awesome podcasts on the network.
And
we don't have a theme song yet or any production assistance, but hopefully we will soon and you will notice an improvement.
And we're going to get a naked guy in a fur coat and everything.
TBD. That is the plan.
TBD.
Yeah,
so
TBD.
Until then, we will talk to you guys in a fortnight. And until then, we got to go because life, kids, dig it.
You know,
kids, man.
Yep.
Kids.
Kids.
All right.